To start off with this morning, I need some audience participation. If you're willing to participate, and I'm not going to ask you to come up front or anything, but if you're willing to participate by answering some questions for me, would you raise your hand? Audience participation, raise your hand. Folks, we're going no further till everybody raises their hand. Everybody. Oh, Bobby. All right. Like I said, I'm not going to have you come up here or anything. Okay, let me ask you this. Now this is where I need the audience participation. I have $100 here in my hand.
Yes.
It's a real $100 bill. Who wants it?
Yes.
Oh, come on now, don't lie to me. Who wants it? Some of you are lying through your hands because you're not raising them. Okay, for those of you that did raise your hands and you really want this, do you still want it? If so, raise your hand. How about now? How about now? Anybody, everybody still want it? What if I stand here and do it like that? You still want it? What if I take it out in the parking lot and drive over it a few times and even slide my tires across it in the gravel out there? Do you still want it? You still want it, don't you? And the reason is, even though it's smashed and deformed and yucky looking, guess what? It's still worth $100, isn't it? And guess what? I want it too. It hasn't lost its value, even though I put it through all of that. It's still valuable. Now, in today's market, it's not near as valuable as it was a few years ago, but it's still valuable, right? Now, folks, we need to look at ourselves, and even though we go through some tough times, our value does not diminish either. Some way, sometimes we look at ourselves, and we may have gone through something that was horrible, that was just beyond our comprehension, and we let that affect us. We let it make us think that we are less valuable because of it. And that is simply not true. You know, a lot of times we look at failure as a person. And I heard a statement years ago that literally changed my life. It said, failure is an event. It is not a person. Let me give you an example of that. And you don't have to raise your hands on this one, but anybody here ever heard of Abraham Lincoln? Of course we have. In fact, DC and I were talking earlier today, and I forget who he said it was, so hopefully it wasn't anybody here. He said somebody didn't know if Abraham Lincoln or George Washington was the first president of the United States. That person obviously doesn't know much about Abraham Lincoln, but I've read several books on Abraham Lincoln, and I forget the exact number of times, but he failed numerous times to even get elected into the Senate. It was like 6 or 7 or 8 times he failed. Does that mean he was a failure? No, not at all. And I praise God that when he finally did get elected into the Senate, he got elected to be president at just the right time in our nation's history. If Abraham Lincoln had looked at himself and said, well, I'm a failure, I'm just going to quit, I'm just going to give up, folks, it could have affected our entire nation. In fact, it could have infected the entire world. So failure is an event, not a person. It is very imperative that you understand that your value comes from God. Your value comes from God. See, we dwell on our faults, and we dwell on our shortcomings, and we dwell on our failures, but God dwells on your value and your potential. Failure is not a person. It is an event. And let me share this with you. Don't waste your pain. You know, a lot of people go through things and they try to put it behind them. And yes, to a certain degree, you've got to put it behind you. But don't waste your pain. Let what you've gone through help you minister to other people that are going through the same things. God did not cause any of our pain. Yes, he did allow it to happen. But he also expects us to use it to his glory and to his honor and to use it to minister to other people. When Paul made the statement that he was chiefest of sinners, you know why he could say that? Because he had been there. He knew what a chief sinner looked like. And yet I'm so thankful that Paul takes that going through everything that he went through, and he said, but God can redeem you from that and use you to do great and glorious things through him. We need to make sure that our value is based on the right foundation. We as a society have a way of putting value on people that are high achievers. And yes, we should be high achievers. God expects us to produce. But that's not where our value comes from. We also put a great emphasis on what other people say about us. Well, folks, if that was the case, most every one of us in here wouldn't be worth much, because we've all got somebody in our lives that puts us down, that talks bad about us. So our value doesn't come from other people. It doesn't come from your popularity. It doesn't come from your position in the church or your position in the community or your position in your job. Our value is based solely on the fact that we are created in the image of the Most High God. Our value comes solely from the fact that we are created in the image of the Most High God. Now, I talked about this just a little bit last week, and this is kind of an extension of that. As I was preaching on this last week, God really spoke to my heart. God created every one of us here just like he did for a reason. We are the height we are for a reason. And you may say, well, what does height have to do with it? Well, it has a lot to do with it. Our abilities were given to us by God for a very specific reason. Our desires were given to us for a very specific reason. Everything about us, our personality and everything else about us, was given to us by God for a very specific reason, and he expects us to take what he's given us and to use it to minister to people and to bring glory and honor to him. So we need to be happy with who God has made us, and we need to be the very best that we can be. I read a book one time that literally changed my life. Just the title of the book changed my life. It said, you were born an original. Don't die a carbon copy. Think about that. Every one of us, God sat down and took the time to design us and create us and mold us and fashion us just like he wanted. And in fact, I shared this with you last week, but the Bible says that we are God's workmanship. We are his masterpiece. And the reason we are his masterpiece is that we were created unto good works. Unto good works. Folks, we as Christians are to be about the Father's business, and a great deal of that is sharing God's love through good works. He said that's why we were created. You know, things that are rare have great value. If you've ever bought a diamond, you know that diamonds are expensive. And the reason they're expensive is they are rare. You know, I was thinking about this when I was preparing for this message. If diamonds were as abundant as rocks are in the creek or out in the field or out in the parking lot back here, they wouldn't be worth much, would they? But since they're rare, they are valuable. One-of-a-kind paintings are valuable. Limited edition items are valuable. And guess what? You are valuable because you are a one-of-a-kind original. There has never been, out of all the billions of people, there has never been one like you before you, and there will never be one like you after you. Now, there's going to be some common characteristics, but even if you take identical twins, they may look the same. They may have some of the same mannerisms, but guess what? Most likely, they have different desires, dreams, abilities, and goals. Even identical twins are not identical. They are a one-of-a-kind, original, created by God. Now, God is shaping us and molding us into what He wants us to be, very much like a jeweler does a diamond. Now, I get fascinated when I watch different people on the TV shows that I've seen, how they go in and how they cut that diamond. And they make sure that it's so precise, because it has to be very precise so that diamond will be even more valuable and so that it will glitter in the sunshine and in the light. Our problem is we don't see the diamond, we see the chunk of coal. We look at ourselves and say, I don't see a diamond. All I see is this ugly, black, dirty chunk of coal. Well, folks, we need to quit looking at the chunk of coal, and we need to start looking for the diamond. Sometimes it takes a while to chip away all of the non-diamond stuff. And when I'm talking about diamond stuff in this sense, I'm talking about the godly thing. And I sent out a video this morning, and if you have access to Facebook, I highly recommend you go find my profile on the Facebook. And DC actually cheated. He watched it before church. But on this video, it's about two guys that are doing this skit, and they're talking. One of them's talking like he's God, and the other guy's talking like he's a human being. And the one guy that's a human being says, I don't see anything good about me. I look in the mirror, and all I see is me. And the guy that's portraying God said, well, that's the problem. I'm here to chip away all of the things that look like you so you can see me coming out of you. Folks, that's what a diamond is, isn't it? You look at a chunk of coal and you say, there's nothing grand or glorious about this, but when you start chipping away everything that doesn't look like a diamond, before long, you're going to have a diamond. If you leave that chunk of coal just like it is, it's not very valuable. But if you take the time and the effort and you get down and you really start taking away all of the non-diamond stuff, before long, you're going to have something that is of extreme value. Now, what I want to encourage you today to do is two things. First of all, I want you to change your perspective from the way you see yourself to the way God sees you. God never made junk. And that, in fact, that's on that video too. But years ago, Diane and I were counseling with a young lady, and she was going through this horrible time in her life. She just did not feel like she was worthy of anything. And all the time she was talking, I was listening to her, but I was writing on this paper. And in big, bold letters, while she was talking, I wrote out, God does not make junk. And when she got through, I just simply turned the paper around and handed it to her and said, this is your answer. God does not make junk. If He made junk, what would that say about Him? God does everything perfectly. So you are perfect in the way God wanted you to be, in every intimate detail. You may not feel like you've come a long way, but if you are a child of God, you have already come a long way. You are already well on your way to being everything that God created you and designed you to be. You've already come and been translated from the kingdom of darkness to becoming a child of the Most High God. Folks, that ought to make your value in yourself right there go skyrocket through the roof. You are a child of the Most High God. Amen. That alone shows your value. Our value is not earned. And again, we put too much emphasis on our ability. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about what God has placed within you. God built value into every one of us when He created us in His image. We are a child of God. And our value is not based on the fact that we do everything right. We don't do everything right. People in the Bible, even the people we call spiritual giants, did not do everything right. They had their faults. They had their weaknesses. They had their absolutely disasters at times. But that didn't change their value. It's not based upon our ability. It's not based upon the fact that we do right. But I will tell you this, you have a whole lot more right about you than you do wrong about you just because you're here today. I've already told you you're created in the image of God, and you being here tells me that you want to learn more about how to be what God has designed you and created you to be. And rightfully so, that's how it should be. Now I will say this, God is not pleased when we disobey Him or when our actions are contrary to His Word. But guess what? He does not give up on us. He does not quit loving us. Our value does not diminish one bit because He knows that we were created in His image. He knows that the potential that He placed within us. So if you feel kind of like that $100 bill that I had earlier, and you've been through some stuff in your life, that does not diminish your value. In God's eyes, your value never changes. When I say it never changes, it never diminishes. Now, it can go up. It may not go up in God's eyes, but it can go up in value in men's eyes. Let me tell you how. We all know about a man by the name of Joseph. You talk about somebody going through hard times. Joseph went through some hard times. Joseph had this dream. And in the dream, God told him, I'm going to do great and mighty things with you. In fact, your brothers are all going to someday bow down. Your brothers and your father are going to bow down at your feet. Well, Joseph had one fault. He didn't know when to keep his mouth shut. And he went and told his brothers and his father, one of these days, God said, you're going to bow down at my feet. That was probably not the wisest thing to do, was it? Because of that dream and because of Joseph sharing that dream with him, his brothers actually hated his guts. Now, I know that's pretty strong and that's kind of an Arkansas term, but folks, they hated his guts. There's really no other way around that. They even plotted to kill him. God intervened. They brought him out of the pit that they had thrown him into, and God intervened and had them sell him to some slave owners. But that's still pretty rough. I mean, here Joseph is thinking, okay, my brothers and my father are supposed to bow down to me. They hate me. They've thrown me in this pit. Now they drug me out of this pit. Now they've sold me into slavery. Now I'm going to a foreign country away from my brothers and my dad. How will my dream ever come true? And yes, his dream was God-given. And he gets over into this foreign country, and one of the first things that happens is that he is accused of rape. Falsely accused of it, and spends 13 years in prison because of it. He's been through some stuff, hasn't he? Even in prison, the butler and the baker came in and said, here's our dreams. Can you tell us our dreams? And he told them the dream. And he told the butler, so when you go back before Pharaoh, please don't forget me. Tell him who told you the interpretation of the dream. Well, the butler forgot. So his only hope, he thought his only hope anyway, was gone. But eventually God delivered Joseph from all of that and placed him second in command in the entire nation and set him where he could literally save thousands and thousands and thousands of lives, including his brothers and his fathers who had hated him. And guess what? His brothers and his fathers did eventually bow down before him. So Joseph's value did not diminish. Because he stayed true to God, it actually increased because God raised him up because of his faithfulness and set him in a place where he could be a blessing to not only the Egyptian nation, but to nations and to his family. So no matter how bad the 100 bill looks, it still has great value. And no matter how bad your situation is, you still have great value. You have value because your value comes from God, not what you've gone through. And folks, I understand. Some of us here have gone through some horrible things. And some of us have gone through multiple things that were just a complete disaster. Maybe it was a bitter divorce. That doesn't diminish your value. In our churches, sometimes we look down upon divorced people. God doesn't. Doesn't diminish your value. Maybe you lost your job. Yes, that's a horrible situation, but in God's eyes, it does not diminish your value. Maybe you even had a very close friend turn their back on you. Man, I've had that happen numerous times. Doesn't diminish your value. Jesus even had that happen. One of his 12, Judas, betrayed him. And Peter denied him. That doesn't diminish your value. Your children may have turned from all that you ever taught them. That doesn't diminish your value. You may have gone through a bad financial crisis. That doesn't diminish your value. You may have even gone through physical or verbal abuse. That does not diminish your value. And a lot of times, I talk to so many people that think they can't be worth anything because somebody physically or verbally abused them. It's not about them. It's about God creating you. Your value comes from God, not that other person. We have to make sure that we get that deep into our spirits this morning. We have to constantly remind ourselves that we are made in the very image of God. That we are His workmanship, His masterpiece. That we are God's child. That we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ and heirs of God. And if nothing else gets into your heart this morning, I want this one fact right here to get into your heart, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but that used to be hard for me to comprehend, that I am the righteousness of God. All I see is filthy rags. But God said that I am the righteousness of Him in and through Christ Jesus. Folks, that makes us valuable. Makes us extremely valuable. So here's the question this morning. God knows your value. God created you. He knows what He put within you. He knows the image that you were designed and created after. He said you're so valuable that even after man fell away, that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross and to pay the ultimate price to get you back into the family. So God knows your value. The question is, do you know your value? Do you see yourself as valuable? We have to. And somebody might be thinking, well, if I see myself as valuable, that's pride. No, pride is just the opposite. Pride is when we look God in the face and say, I know, God, you say I'm valuable, that I'm somebody special, that I'm worth something, but I don't believe that. We are so arrogant, so prideful, we're calling God a liar. Now, we do have to be careful of not being filled with pride, but folks, if you see yourself the way God sees you, I promise you, you'll never be filled with pride. Pride comes from thinking we are somebody special within ourselves. It's not the we, it's the He in us. And I understand that most of this message today has been kind of directed toward Christians. But if you've never been saved, guess what? God created you in His image as well. And just like I shared with you a moment ago, God loves you enough and wants you in the family bad enough that He paid the ultimate price for you, which is Jesus Christ, His Son. You are that valuable to God. And you may not understand everything that you've gone through in life. I doubt if anybody ever understands everything they've gone through. But you do have to understand that that does not diminish your value at all. Does not diminish your value. In fact, like I said earlier, it can even increase your value in helping you to be able to minister to more people and to bless more people and to share God's love with more people after you've come through that. And God's helped you. God wants you to use your pain for His gain. Amen. Life is life, and we all go through junk. Everybody that's ever lived has gone through some sort of junk in their life, some sort of horrible, bad, miserable, disgusting situation. But those that come out with God's glory in mind, guess what? They come out with a smile. They come out knowing that they just became more valuable to the people around them. Those that come out of their situations bitter, they just don't get it. Their value has not diminished yet. In their own eyes, they think that it has. But in God's eyes, it has not. You're still just as valuable and still just as precious to Him as you ever were. I'm going to ask Marlene and Bill, if they would, to come with a song of invitation. Ask you to stand with us this morning. As we go to prayer, I really want you to look at your life and to see if you understand how valuable you are to our Heavenly Father. Lord, I come before You this morning. And I thank You that You created me and every one of these fine folks in Your image. I thank You, Father, that You loved us enough. You so loved us that You gave us Your only begotten Son, Jesus, to come and to die and to suffer more than we could ever imagine anybody suffering physically, emotionally, and even spiritually, Father. That we could be in Your family. You loved us so much. And Father, we are so valuable to You. And I pray, Father, that today You would help us to see ourselves the way You see us. Yes, we do have a ways to go. Yes, we do still have faults and failures. And we have blunders and mistakes. But God, as long as we're striving to be all that You want us to be, and as long as we're working in cooperation with You and letting You chip away the ungodly stuff, then our value is going to be increasing, not decreasing. So Father, this morning, help us to have a proper perspective and a proper vision of who we are in Your sight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.